Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. If cold candidate calls aren't turning into hot hiring leads, then you need Indeed, because Indeed's powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all from one place. Find your next great hire visiting Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, right now, 13 minutes to go in the second half. Davidson trailing Michigan State 47-45. Steph Curry has all 45 points for Davidson. 15 threes on the night. Michigan State having a lot of trouble, but still, it is a two-point lead there. Meanwhile, Colgate has the early 3-0 lead over Wisconsin. And if they win, Mike Harmon, I'm claiming this one, because you know how many times I've been to Colgate? You know how many times I went to see games at Star Rink? Oh, I am a Colgate by what proxy. So if Colgate wins, I'm taking it. If they lose, I won't mention it at all. But if they win, I'm completely taking that.
Yeah, halfway through the first half, 13-10. Paint drying might be, you know, rivaling the excitement of that game right now. But I mean, you probably saw the inside of the campus more than you did the inside of your Colgate toothpaste.
I was never a big Colgate. We were always Crest. We were a Crest house. Was never a big Colgate guy.
Okay.
Yeah, it was always Crest.
Yeah, it was really a one-off, really bad joke. But I'm glad we got a deeper dive into the bathroom habits of one Jason Smith.
Well, you when you're implying I brush my teeth all the time. I use Crest. I'm not a Colgate guy.
Well,
as you would say, not a sponsor. I'm going to talk about it if they're not a sponsor.
I don't know why you got to do it that way.
That's how you
I'm just not forgiving off. That's what I said even when I made the joke.
Not as much.
They didn't pay us anything, so we don't give them a lot of run. Reference their product in general.
Yeah. So, again, no matter what toothpaste you use, yes, it's still 13-10 midway to go in the first half of that. Yes, brush your teeth. What was the movie? Conspiracy Theory, right? That's what we're... Mel Gibson was saying that the government hides, like, controlling the people in the fluoride of toothpaste, and that's able to control the world because, you know, people that don't brush their teeth do this whole thing, and that's how the government controls you. I can't believe
that's
that
how they get
it.
You. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that hasn't made its way around as a conspiracy theory. It's all in the toothpaste, man. It's all in the toothpaste.
Oh, I bet you if you go into the dark web, you can find some of that.
Oh, boy.
I'll let you do that.
The Deshaun Watson trade goes down today, and it's stunning. He decides in a reversal of fortune to go to the Cleveland Browns, who were told they were out just a day and a half ago, went through all kinds of drama with Baker Mayfield. Maybe Deshaun Watson felt bad, saying, oh, boy, maybe I'll go to Cleveland. No, Cleveland is the right choice. When you're talking about the finalists, it was down to Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina. They have the best coaching staff. They have the best roster. And you're talking about someone who now wants to win and wants to reprove himself, which is what he said earlier today. Cleveland makes sense. Now, the other part of it is this, and this is part of what goes on with Deshaun Watson. It's really hard to talk about him right now. It really is, because the narrative now has just blown off all of the legal peril that he was in. He still has 22 cases that women have filed, civil cases against him for unwanted and unlawful behavior during massages. 22 women. And even though we had the story last week that there are no criminal charges that were filed, which again is still something people are trying to come to grips with, all 22 women lie? I mean, you got 22 people here, but there's no evidence. Look, this is how it's gone. He has not spoken. He has not said anything about what happened. He took the Fifth Amendment, so we've got no explanation for what went on at all these different times. All the women that he seeked out to find as masseuses. Which, why do you have 22 different women giving you massages? I mean, again, there's so many unanswered questions, and I don't know that we're ever going to get answers to the questions. And so it's hard to talk about him because he matters so much to the rest of the NFL and what it means for the Browns and where the quarterback shuffle goes. And it's a big deal for the business of the NFL and for fans who are trying to figure out where their teams are going to go and how our teams are going to be. But the rest of it, it's hard because of the optic of all these legal issues. And just because, all right, there's no criminal charges, and then a few days later, here's a guy getting more guaranteed money than anybody in the history of the game. I mean, think about that optic for a second. Deshaun Watson couldn't even see the field because of this. And now we have somewhat I would say we made maybe half of a resolution because these were civil cases that were filed. Now here come the criminal cases that they looked at already. We still have that going on. And now here, yes, now it's about on the field. And now here's the money. And here's where we talk about him and how good the Browns are going to be and what this means for Baker Mayfield. It's a very difficult thing to do. So, I mean, look, Mike and I come on the radio every night. We talk 4 hours about stuff, and you know, sometimes it's harder than others, and we'll get to John Clayton coming up in a couple minutes. But this is also one of those times where it really is difficult because it still makes me feel weird to just be talking about suddenly, okay, now this is over and here's what's going on, when we still haven't really had a final answer to it. And maybe had Watson talked about it and said what happened and we got a better explanation or something different, it would be different. But there's still so much of this, Mike, that's clouded in secrecy, that to suddenly make that jump to, okay, now he's back on it, we can talk about him now. It's still a difficult needle to thread to go, what's the right balance to strike between having respect for what's going on and what's still going on and the business of the NFL. It's really difficult to do.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, you compartmentalize, right? I had this conversation, you know, we do private soccer, working on some skills and, you know, footwork with Madeline on Fridays, and she asked as we started our drive, it's up, you know, the Palos Verdes, so we got to go sit in traffic a bit. And she asked what the big story of the day was. She goes, is it going to be basketball? I go, well, no. She goes, oh, that guy again. I go, yeah. She goes, what's new with it now? Because this has been sitting there for 18 months, right? I mean, it's there. So, you know, those stories, you know, are in the balance. And she'd seen names and wanted to see if she could connect the dots herself. I said, yes. He was able to orchestrate the trade. And I kind of went through the timeline of it all. And the whole time she's just staring at me, go, and they're going to trade for him. I go, yes, because for now, the criminal stuff is off to the side. Still have to go through all of the civil cases, 22 of them. So to get a $230 million contract, look, I begrudge no man or woman the dollars they go and earn. Our business, other businesses, whatever you do across America, still just trying to reconcile all that with the cases still pending and knowing that many teams were coming along and trying to figure out not only the lay of the land, which meant they spent considerable man hours and women hours. I mean, I don't know. I just went for the old catch-all. But the idea that you spent a lot of time doing your due diligence on his availability, probably calling the league office to see if you could suss out any information from them about what a potential suspension's going to be, and not to mention all of your financial folks going through and contract lawyers and everybody else to try to see what you can come up with that makes sense, and, you know, compensation from a draft pick. Like, you think about all of the hours and energy spent on this, and there's still a little of it that doesn't feel right. And that's not the claim that, you know, I'm the grand poobah, the all-knowing, and saying, hey, 22, all of them, you know, he's just this miserable all the way through, right? I don't know what reality is. We don't know what reality is. We know the criminal charges or criminal allegations never turned into charges, right? They indicted, they looked at it, and no charges end up being filed. Now, he pled the Fifth, and for now, those are off. So, you know, the business of the NFL came back in. And our job is to talk about the business of the NFL, right? I don't know if I go as far as we do in The Few Good Men. If I do so, what is it, without passion or prejudice? But the idea is that we do still have to talk about what it means, the domino effects. It doesn't mean that it's the happy subject that you're talking about. Again, congratulations to the Browns on getting one hell of a quarterback if when he's available. But there's a lot of consideration. And, you know, you talk about the moral costs, and if folks want to go down that road, then you do. In the end, when he's on the field, it's wins, losses, and performance. And at the end of the day, that's sports radio, sports television. It's a television show. Doesn't mean you have to like all the principal characters, how they're written, how they're drawn, or in this case, what may or may not have happened in their personal lives. So yeah, it's there is a little unrest with these cases still not settled or come to conclusion. The long story short, like, it feels like normally we like things all tidied up, right, and boxed and put in the corner or back on the shelf. Right now, you're getting a $230 million guaranteed deal, compensation back to Houston, and the final chapter of the story isn't even written.
You know, and you say that about the Jack Ross line about I represent the government without passion or prejudice and my client has a case. That's kind of what it's going to be for Watson. Is it's a big story now, and he has been a big story because of his legal situation. Where is he going to go? Where is he going to end up? Now we know the answer to that. And I can tell you this. When we get to the point now how to cover Deshaun Watson, he's going to be covered like we covered Michael Vick post-prison, like we covered Ben Roethlisberger post his issues that he had off the field with women, in that you're not going to get a lot of spirited conversation. You're going to get conversation how it matters 100% to the business of the games. And this is what happened, and he needs to play better, and he needs to do this. That's kind of what it's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a lot of passion. There's going to be a lot of detachment when it comes to discussing Deshaun Watson because of this. And we will talk about him like we talk about Vic or Roethlisberger or Tyreek Hill or anybody that has a situation where, boy, we really don't know what the answer to this is. And in the end, what do? We talk about it as much as we have to. And then we move on to other things. And it doesn't mean that this is any less of a story. It's just it's hard, you know, and it's hard for people who have to try to figure out the right way, you know, as we do every night here to talk about things. And that's kind of how it's going to be. We'll talk about the Browns as they're winning, and we'll mention Watson's name if he's playing well. And boy, Watson's playing well in this, but you're not going to see the over-the-top effusiveness and excitement that you normally are going to get about other players when they're playing well. It's not going to be how people say about Mac Jones. Mac Jones just completed two passes in a row. This guy's better than Tom Brady. I mean, you're not going to see that kind of excitement. It's going to be much more muted and much more buttoned up when it comes to the impact when we break stuff down regarding Watson and the Browns. That's kind of how I see it going.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, a little bit of raining blood. Oh, all Slayer for John Clayton. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hiring heating up? Indeed's hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. Sponsor a post and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates on Indeed whose resumes match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, right now, 5 minutes left to go. Michigan State trying to hold on against Davidson 59-56. We'll have more on this game coming up. But joining us now on the hotline, a man who is still currently a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, longtime insider, longtime friend of the show, and I guarantee without even knowing, he was probably a longtime friend of John Clayton, because if you're in the business as long as he is, everybody's been that kind of guy. Jason Cole, what's happening, man?
Well, you hit it right on the top of the head. Yeah, rough night tonight, guys. Rough night. John is as good a human being as you will ever find in this business. As honest and as good and helpful a person as you could ever imagine having had contact with, especially when you're getting started in this business, when I did. And tonight's a little tough, that's all.
So, well, and tonight. Look, hey, I've known him a long time, been to dinner with him and his wife, but I really now I'm a little upset because he's the guy to blame for loosing you on the we wouldn't have to worry about your hits every week and all the crap that you say. Now it's John Clayton. Now I know it's John Clayton's fault now.
Yes, it is
great.
You can put this all the creation of this is an extension. Yes, and this madness is an extension of John Clayton, who would appreciate the madness because he had a devious sense of humor.
Had he not been here, had he just been a less helpful guy, you know, we would be in a different place.
You know what? That is the consistent
You would have avoided all of this. It would have just disappeared into the netherworld. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I had the chance to do a couple of events with John a long while ago and some radio hits, but like the timeline tonight, obviously long tenure at ESPN, but J. Cole, the consistent thing is just very much that people talking about their first jobs and how he would seek them out to try to make them comfortable in their new environments. Yeah. And that seems to be the legacy.
I remember talking, I was in Buffalo, right? And he was working in Seattle. We were at a playoff game and he had read some of my stuff about, you know, and I was pretty knowledgeable about the salary cap. And followed it and, you know, figured teams out. And I was one of those guys, you know, and he was better at it than I was, way better and always better. But he was one of those guys who recognized that people understood that the salary cap was really critical and important, whereas a lot of people would just kind of write it off like, oh, they'll figure out the money and they'll get the players they want to get. No, it was a lot more technical than that. And, you know, like John could have been a capologist for any of his teams. I mean, like, he could have literally studied the league and it would have been better than probably 95% of the guys because he also understood football. Like, that was the other thing. I mean, just a genius explaining the game, relating it to what the numbers meant, what teams did well, didn't do well. Yeah, he's as smart a football reporter as you will ever meet. And, you know, look, Adam Schefter's a great information guy. Obviously, there are other guys who are good information guys. But it's very rare that guys completely and totally understand the game, the cap, the economics, how it all works together. And really, like, the best part of John is, as good as he was on radio and as much information, as much stuff as you would learn about the game, if you got him into those moments where he could just be kind of off color and I'm not talking about swearing all the time or anything like just completely and totally honest about the guys where he could just say, you know, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. Like when he could say it that way,
yeah.
he was even more amazing. Like, so if you could get John Clayton unfiltered, you know, not, you know, away from the having the, you know, to do it in a TV way or a radio way and just like serve it up the way he really thought. Oh my God, it was even better. It's just, and I was privileged to have had hours of those kinds of conversations with John along the way. So this is a rough night, but it's also a glorious night to remember one of the guys, probably the two or three guys in this profession I respect the most.
You know, it's funny you say that because it's kind of like, if, you know, you talk about the moments off camera, and I mentioned earlier in the show, like, but some of the best conversations John and I would have was about the TV show 24. Because we were both huge fans of the show, and like he would come on my show every week, and for like 10 minutes before we tape, we talk about 24. Who do you think that this new president, Gregory Itzen, is great? I don't know. Is he better than David Palmer? Well, then we do the hit, and then we talk about it for another 15 minutes after. What do you think's going to happen? Those are the conversations I remember, just how much he would say. And he would say, and Jason, I'll talk to you next week after an all-new 24. And that like became the way he would sign off when he would come on the show, because that's how Fox would say it. I mean, up next on an all-new all-new 24. I'll talk to you next Sunday after an all-new 24.
That's so clear.
And he made it that way. And I know some executives said, hey, why does John say it that way? I go, why? You're upset? You really? What do you think is going to – you're worried, hey, people are going to turn off the radio and go watch 24? Really? You think that's what's going to happen? Oh, people at ESPN were insane sometimes. They got mad at me once because, you know, because I knew him really well. And we would and we would talk, and I would call him, hey, Johnny C., what do you think about this? And just to have that kind of conversation. I remember one time after one of my managers said, yeah, you know, I think we're going to dial it back on the closeness. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, when you call him Johnny C., I go, yeah, well, what's wrong with that? He goes, you know, it just seems like it's chummy, it's buddy-buddy. I think it kind of blurs the line with professionalism and certain things. I go,
oh, please.
On the radio calling him John. I mean, these are some of, this is some of the minutia that ESPN was always worried about. And when he came on and I said, hey, John, and he knew I think that happened because at one time I forgot about it. And I said, all right, so Johnny C., he goes, whoops. And just like he didn't even say anything else. He just knew that they said that. And he didn't care. But he just said, whoops. And then he answered because he knew that, but he didn't care. It was just he knew that conversation that went on. And he slipped in that whoops right there. Oh, my God. He was so much fun.
He's what a perceptive dude, a funny dude. He just I just remember having conversations with him about, yeah, this is what this guy really said about that guy. And, and so, like, again, like he under, you know, he was never big on talking about sort of the macho alpha male side of football because he just thought, you know, that's everybody should know that. Everybody should accept that. But when he did dip into that kind of stuff and he got away from the analytical stuff, he knew, you know, like he just knew the personalities. He knew like who were the real dummies in this profession and who were the really smart guys because he studied their work and he saw, oh, that guy's, you know, that guy's just not sharp, you know, or he's an idiot, you know, this guy's an idiot, he doesn't know what he's doing, or that guy really, really understands it. Like, he could really pick it out. So, you know, I think NFL teams just really missed it that somebody should have hired this guy to do the analytics of football, you know, because he was so far ahead of it, and he would have made great hires, and he would have understood who the good personnel people were, and he would have, like, he could have done all that kind of stuff. He was that smart. He should have been on the inside of the game, but I'm forever grateful that he was not and that I got a chance to get to know him this way.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, in the tribute from a personnel standpoint, we've got our guy Jason Cole with us at JasonCole62, where you find him on Twitter. You've got the latest book, Elway, A Relentless Life. Go get that. Exceedingly Blunt, you know that from his weekly visits. Still a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, despite Smith's efforts to make that
derail my voterdom. Yes. Yeah. Electrodom, whatever we want to call it, yes.
So with a little nod to John Clayton in mind, today, obviously, the zag in the quarterback world as Deshaun Watson becomes a member of the Cleveland Browns. Would love to hear the unfiltered Clayton on it. But here you are, Jason Cole. We come to expect even more unfiltered from you. Personnel-wise, 22 cases still hanging. What went through your mind when you saw $230 million guaranteed?
Oh, I'm impressed with what Cleveland did in this deal. They came back and they convinced them to do it. Obviously, the coaching staff had a big impact on this because, you know, like if you're Deshaun Watson and you're looking at the ownership, you're probably going, come on. But you know, I think the coach convinced them on this one. The money is obviously important, but for three firsts. A third and what a fifth, you know, to get him and no players involved. I mean, in a sense, they got him for less than Denver got Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's 26 and Russell Wilson is 33.
Right.
So when you take that into account, and yeah, the money's expensive. I get it. But you don't get very many opportunities to get a franchise quarterback. And if you're Cleveland, I mean, I made this point on Twitter a couple of weeks ago talking about how long it's been since some teams have had franchise quarterbacks. Like, they haven't had a franchise quarterback, and you know, since Bernie Kosar. And some people would argue that, you know, Kosar wasn't even truly a franchise guy. I would take issue with that. But name a great quarterback, a truly great quarterback that Cleveland's had since Otto Graham.
Nicely done. And go,
if you and if you thought my Beverly Hillbillies reference was aged last week, you know, I can't wait to hear what you guys think of the Otto Graham reference.
I celebrate his whole catalog. Go Cats.
I thought you were going to say since Brian Sipe, but you went back even further than
or 2007 with Derek Anderson.
Sipe was a flash in the pan kind of guy. I mean, he was okay.
Oh, wow, look at you.
No,
come
don't
on.
Give
he was
me
the quarterback
Brian
of the Cardiac
Kids. Let's not do this.
He was part of the Cardiac Kids. It's the greatest NFL films ever, the Cardiac Kids. That's the best episode NFL films has ever done.
It's fun. It's good. It petered out after about 3 years. Okay, it wasn't all
wow.
that impressive.
Really, this is all John Clayton's fault. I mean, all of this hate from
this criticism. Who made you? Who should we blame for you? Like,
all of this.
Is it Sonny Werblin, or do we get what are we doing here? What are you doing? You know,
you
like
blame
Joe
somebody?
Namath is like did Joe Namath like dreams of Joe Namath like oh we can do it again there'll be another Namath no there's not you yeah. are the Jets that's all you get so you live in the past with Werblin and Namath and Hess and you know a bunch of other guys that most New Yorkers have never heard about because you're Jets fans and you know nothing.
I interviewed Joe Namath once, and
did he want to kiss you?
No. Like 90 seconds. One of those where he was on. It was a red carpet thing, and Joe Namath said, so I had him for like 90 seconds. I finished the interview, and I said, I have no idea what I just asked him. I was just like, oh my god, it's Joe Namath. It's like the world slowed down for me.
I'm Joe,
like,
oh my god,
hey Joe,
Joe
Namath is right there. You want to talk to him? And my head just went, sure, let me talk to Joe Namath.
You're all I have. You are all I have, Joe. That's it.
If I had Tom Seaver standing here next to you, my entire life would be in circle right here.
I could die now and be a happy man.
This is what I have right here. So lastly, because I know you were big on this yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
The whole behavior from Baker Mayfield throughout this whole thing, I'm sending out a thank you note.
What a wuss.
I want to be traded.
You are just a wuss.
Look, I get it. You know, and I understand that he he's not someone that's mentally strong, but shouldn't the Browns have known that this was going to happen? I mean, they've known the guy for 4 years.
I'm not disputing that. Okay, I'm not disputing that Cleveland should have anticipated that he would have a childlike response, which is probably why they came back and said, "We'll do whatever we can."
Double up, exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like they're like, "Oh my God, now we got to deal with this again." Oh, forget it. Just go give him the 238. Give, you know, do we have to give him $300 million? Let's just do it to get rid of Baker. Okay, I get it. Okay, but I just look at Baker Mayfield and go, "What happened to the dude who had swagger who would come back and go, oh, you wanted Deshaun Watson, huh? Let me show you what I can do," right? And that would have been the guy who, you know, did that stuff in college, first couple of years in the pros. Now it's like, well, I have my brand to protect and this and that, and I'm a whiner. Like, God, you're such – I can't say it on air, but you're such
–
I just can't say it on air.
And leave it alone.
I just can't say it. The FCC is going to – you know, I'll be banned from the show forever. But, God, yeah, it's so soft. It's so weak. And I hear this like, oh, what's Matt Ryan going to do now that Atlanta – Matt Ryan's going to come back and he's going to play for the money. He's going to play really hard. And he's probably not going to be real happy. But that's what you do, right? Like, you just come back and you prove it to everybody that I'm just better and I'm gonna play balls out right here, you know, and that's the way we're gonna do this. And I'll show you what I'm made of. Like, to me, I would respect that. Now, look, I understand plenty of other players have talked their way out of teams and that's their strategy. And I explain lots of times, and I've said it on this show, you know, are you willing to talk your way off of a team? That's Aaron, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Do you have the guts to talk your way off of a team? So I understand that's a strategy. It's not a strategy I respect, but it's a strategy, and it's the strategy that you have to play in certain situations. And Baker was willing to do that, and I respect that he's willing to stand up and say, I want to be out of here. I get that. but I don't respect the overall approach. Like, if it was, you know, I'm like, I look at Tom Brady. When Tom Brady was at Michigan and Drew Henson shows up, and Drew Henson is God in Michigan, right? Like, he's a freshman and Brady's a junior, and everybody thinks that, you know, Drew Henson should just walk on water and walk straight into the starting quarterback position. What, you know, Brady stuck it out, mostly because his dad told him, you know, look, life's tough. Go fight. You know, you can come back to Cal if you want, and, you know, you can play. You can play for that horrible school if you want, but gratuitous shot.
I'll send it out to Trask.
You're right. Yeah, but yeah, you could. Yeah, tell Amy Trask I said that. Please tweet it to her. yeah, you can play for that awful school, or you can be a man and you can stay at Michigan and, you know, win the job and show some mental toughness, and that's what he did. And if you want to know one of the main reasons why Tom Brady is who he is, because he didn't look back and say, oh, they brought in Drew Henson. They don't love me. Lloyd Carr doesn't love me. He didn't even recruit me because it was the previous coach. No. He's like, look, I'll just go take the job. And he did.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62, longtime NFL insider, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, and the book Elway, Relentless Life, of course, available bookstores and Amazon. So basically anywhere you want books, you can get it. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Be good. Take care.
Thanks, brother.
All right. There goes Jason Cole. So it's John Clayton's fault. We have Jason Cole.
Yep.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got more on Deshaun Watson coming your way in about 10 minutes or so. But while that got most of the headlines today, $230 million guaranteed to him as he's now going to be the new quarterback of the Browns, the AFC West continues to just load up as Juju Smith-Schuster agrees to terms with the Chiefs, 1 year and $10 million. Smith-Schuster making the announcement earlier today on social media. Nobody else had it. It was just people quote tweeting him going, Juju Smith-Schuster has just announced he's a Chief. Like, that's how it was. It was, hey, I'm a Chief, you know, ready to go. And it's like, oh, Smith-Schuster's a Chief, apparently. I didn't get that. But I'll tell you what, man, for everything we've seen the last few days, and still we went over the peck order last night after Devontae Adams to the Raiders, this move, if anything is going to say, maybe I don't have the Chargers as my favorite, this move does it for the Chiefs because this is absolutely what they've needed for a while now. You can be a really good quarterback, and if you don't have enough guys and catch a football, you're going to struggle. And teams kind of figured out a little bit, all right, this is what you do with it. It's taken years. This is how you do it against the Chiefs. This is how you bracket Tyreek Hill, and this is what you do with Travis Kelce. And the Chiefs have not had any other weapons. Their running game has been pedestrian. They've not found another wide receiver to really break through and be that number two. They lost Sammy Watkins, was never really that good a couple of years ago. But now they go get Juju Smith-Schuster, who, as long as he is healthy, he is terrific. I don't know how he's lasted on the market two straight years, 1 year, $10 million deals, but he is legit. And suddenly now you give another option. Where are you going to roll your coverages to now? Now you have a big-time wide receiver on either side of the field and Kelce down the middle. If anything's going to say, yeah, I don't know about the Chargers, the favorites anymore, this is that move because this is what the Chiefs needed. They needed another big move on offense to make their offense a little bit more dynamic. And now you're talking about adding a guy who, when he's right, is a top 15 receiver of the NFL. I mean, he's just that good. And for him to be out there for so long and 1 year and $10 million, and you go, how did nobody else do this? How did no one say 1 year and $12 million, 1 year and $13 million? Because Juju Smith-Schuster is really good, Harm. And he's the second year in a row he stayed out there and signed for 1 year.
Well, I think part of it was, I mean, last year was the bet on yourself. And then he played five games and only had 28 targets and missed the rest of the year. So, you know, unfortunately, that means what do you do? Let's do it again. And we look at the money, and look, if it breaks right, you're correct, right? He did have 111 catches in 2018. He had 97 catches in 2020. And this is an even year, so that would say he'll probably have a good year. Because remember, 2019, I mean, that was the Roethlisberger injury year, so you take that with a grain of salt. But he himself only played 12 games that year. 70 targets, 42 receptions. So I think part of it is he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. And as a number three option, right, that's what he is in this offense, that he's got an opportunity to still put up numbers, especially if they continue to try the bracket coverage that we've seen for Tyreek Hill and for Travis Kelce. So opportunity is there. He's got to go make the most of it. And it certainly makes the offense better because now Mecole Hardman can slide back into a WR3 role, which makes him that much more dangerous against a lesser cornerback.
If he's the productive version of himself, the Chiefs win the division. All this other stuff that's gone on this offseason, but that's the big key. If he's the productive version of himself, that's what happens.
Ifs and buts, baby.
Twitter at How About a Fresca Mike at Swollen Dome. That race keeps getting better. Back to the biggest NFL story of the day next, Fox.